My name is Rabbi Miriam Simmel Wallfisch, and I'll be taking us through the second chapter of Mishnah Makot, a chapter that deals with accidental murder and cities of refuge. In the Torah, Numbers 35 and Deuteronomy 19 each lay out a procedure for dealing with an accidental murder. The reason this procedure was so crucial was that in the ancient world, the next of kin of the victim was legally permitted to kill the murderer in a vigilante justice type of situation. The Torah therefore institutes a system of safe harbor for murderers who killed accidentally so that they would not need to face the blood avenger, called the Arei Miklat, cities of refuge. So this is the biblical background to our Mishnah. So now let's turn to the Mishnah. Mishnah Makot is a continuation of Mishnah Sanhedrin. This is especially helpful to realize at the beginning of our chapter, which seems to begin in the middle of a thought. It begins, Elu hein hagolim. These are the ones who go into exile. Mishnah Sanhedrin uses this same formula to specify who receives which form of capital punishment. It says, Elu hein hanisrafin, Elu hein haniskalin, Elu hein hanechnakin. These are the ones who are burnt, these are the ones who are stoned, these are the ones who are put to death through strangulation. In chapter 7 to 9 of Sanhedrin. This shows us that the rabbis largely see exile as part of the complex of capital punishments. The rabbis thus see these cities as a punishment for the accidental murderer, not as severe a punishment as death, but a punishment nonetheless, one that the murderer cannot choose to avoid. Though this assessment may be complicated later on in our chapter. Mishnah Makot chapter 2 is divided into two parts. Part 1, the first four Mishnayot, deals with a number of questions in relation to the accidental murder. First, how do we define an accident? Second, how do we as judges determine whether or not somebody should head to the cities of refuge? The second half of the chapter deals with the setup of the cities and questions of procedure. How does the murderer make it there? How and when does the murderer leave to go back home? The first Mishnah begins to tackle the question of who counts as an accidental murderer. This Mishnah unpacks which actions lead to exile in the event that they cause someone's death. Let's dive in. Elu hein hagolin, hahoreg nefesh bishgaga. These are the people who are exiled. Anyone who kills a person unintentionally. The word shkaga is used all over the Mishnah to revert to accidental transgression. The one who transgresses accidentally is called shogeg. The opposite of that is mezid, intentional. So what are the examples of accidental death, or a death caused bishogeg? Number one, haya me'agel b'ma'agila, v'nafla alav v'haragatu. Haya mishalshel b'chavit, v'nafla alav v'haragatu. Haya yored b'sulam, v'nafal alav v'harago. Hare ze gole. If one was rolling a roller on one's roof, and it falls on someone and kills them, or if someone was lowering a barrel and the barrel fell on someone and killed them, or if someone was climbing down a ladder, and the ladder falls, or I suppose maybe the person falls, and kills someone else, this person goes into exile. So a couple words about this section of the Mishnah. What is this roller that we're talking about? Rashi says that this roller was what they used to use to plaster the roof with clay. The roofs were flat, but the clay would give them some kind of incline so that the rainwater could run off. And they would plaster their roofs with a wide, smooth piece of wood that had a handle, and using that handle, they would push the roller toward the incline and then draw it back and then push it again, causing the clay to smoothen. So the pushing movement, according to Rashi, is referred to as me'agel, and the drawing movement is referred to as moshech, which we're going to see in the next section. The wooden tool is called a ma'agila, the tool that smooths the clay on the roof. Okay, so that was the first case, rolling the clay, lowering the barrel, or going down the ladder. Now we move on to a second type of case. Aval, im haya moshech b'magela, v'nafla alav v'haragatu, haya dole b'chavit, v'nifsak ha'chevel, v'nafla alav v'haragatu, haya ole b'sulam, v'nafla alav v'harago, harize eino gole. However, says the Mishnah, if one was pulling that roller towards themselves, and then the roller fell and killed someone, or if one was lifting a barrel and the rope cut and the barrel fell on someone and killed them, or if someone was climbing a ladder and either here the ladder fell on someone and killed that person, that unintentional murder is not exiled. Now the Mishnah is going to tell us a general rule about these two types of cases. Ze haklal, kol shebederech yiridato gole, v'shen lo bederech yiridato eino gole. This is the general rule. Any murderer who kills unintentionally, b'shogeg, through a downward motion is exiled. But someone who kills not through a downward motion is not exiled. So on the face of this is a little bit perplexing, right? These are very similar actions, right? Both pushing and pulling the ma'agela involve the same tool, the same activity, the same lack of intention. Presumably people don't premeditate tarring their roof as a form of murdering somebody they don't like. However, there's something about the direction of the motion that the Mishnah thinks is significant. So why is this? The Bar Tanura suggests that this is purely exegetical. Numbers 23 states, Ve'im befeta belo eva hadafo, o hishlich alav kol kli belotstia, o bechol even asher yamutba belo reot, if suddenly, without enmity, somebody pushed someone else or threw upon them any tool without any kind of premeditation or entrapment, or using any stone that could kill, but without seeing the person they're killing, and then that stone falls upon them, and they die, but they are not enemies, and the person wasn't seeking to harm the victim, that's the case of the accidental murder in Bamidbar. And so Bar Tanura says, look closely at the words of that pasuk. We're talking only about downward motions, pushing something onto somebody else, throwing a tool onto someone, lobbing a stone that kind of falls on them, right? That word falling is key. These are all downward motions. And so that is going to be a limiting factor into who goes into exile. Only people who kill through downward motion. But there might be another reason for this as well. There's perhaps more intentionality required when exerting upward force. Rather than kind of the object following the same direction that you're already directing it, it would require a shifting in that direction. And perhaps that might even be greater negligence. And so the idea that the murderer in the upward motion cases doesn't go into exile might not be that we think the murderer is less culpable. Rather, we might be thinking that the murderer is more culpable. Perhaps in such a case, we might say that if the murderer was warned, then they would even receive a capital punishment rather than being sent into exile. So just to reiterate and make more clear, when the Mishnah says that someone who is employing an upward motion, when they kill someone else, they don't go into exile, we have to see that in the context of capital punishment in general, and in the context of murder in general. Those people are seen by the Mishnah as being potentially more culpable than someone who kills accidentally with a downward motion. And so if they were warned, they would be tried for murder. And if not, they may end up going free, but only because of a loophole, not because they were less culpable. Tomorrow, we will look at another example of an accidental murder where there's a dispute between sages about whether or not the person goes into exile.